Let's get to a bloke who's just had a remarkable career in football. 364 games for the Bulldogs, 3 Sutton medals, 6-time All-Australian. His name is Brad Johnson, of course, Fox footy commentator. Good morning, Jono.
Good morning, Hazy. Good morning, Kane. How are you
going? Good day, Jono.
Going very well, thanks, mate. How are you going? How are the nerves?
No, I'm going really well. I think it's a little bit of the calm before the storm tomorrow, isn't it? It's been a long build-up, but overall, going really well. Just the excitement of where the club's at once again. It's going to be an unbelievable game. It probably sits at a 50-50 game in terms of the type of players and matchups that we're going to see tomorrow. So it's been good. It's been a great week. It's been great to sort of get out and about and do a few things. And I haven't caught up with David Neitz that much as I have this week. It's been unbelievable. But anyway, we keep crossing paths, doing a number of things on Zoom and calls and combining. It's a great thing because Melbourne, in essence, are feeling exactly what we felt in 2016. So it's been great to revisit 2016 again, and obviously the heartaches of prior to that. And we sit here today in another grand final.
So, Jono, I've been lucky enough to be in Perth. All the talk is Melbourne. So it's Melbourne, Melbourne, Melbourne. And for obvious reasons, for those that you just explained about the drought and all of that. But is that a nice place for Luke Beveridge and your Bulldogs to be in, just flying under the radar once again?
Yeah, look, Kane, I think it is in that essence. Look, they've been mentally tough over this period of time. They've got a theme going on in the background, from what we understand. That'll be all uncovered on if they win on Saturday night. So that'll be interesting to see what has really mentally got them through the last month of footy and the turnaround in their fortunes. But I think Bevo probably described it in one of his speeches, maybe at halftime last week, as the club, you know, releases some vision of some of the talks the coaches do. And part of that was, you underestimated how big our hearts are. And I think that's the element of where the Bulldogs are at throughout this final series of what they've had to deal with. And little comments like that, if they win, I think that comment goes down in history with, you know, the great EJ, you need to inspire me, or Charlie Sutton, you shop early. That one from Bevo, if they win, I think goes down in the club's history alongside the other two greats I just mentioned.
And he will go down in history because this would be the most remarkable premiership that I've ever seen with the challenges they've been through. Do you agree with that, Jono? Like, have you seen anything like the challenges, the travel that anyone else has faced? And did you think when they missed out on the top four that they would be here playing off tomorrow?
No, I thought they'd win their first final against the Bombers, but then always thought Brisbane was going to be tough, and it was. And they got through that one just so. And Port Adelaide game was just a total surprise with what they've had to been through. Because even when they got to Brisbane, you know, Kane, it's the little things that, you know, it's their diet and their food and the way they had to eat and the way it was presented to them and aspects around that. And even the fact they could only get off the bus in two. So you had players sitting on the bus for over an hour just waiting to get off before others got to their room, were settled in, and then the next two could get off the bus. And it was just things like that that, you know, they're only the little things and they mightn't mean much to people. But when you're in the moment of trying to prepare and play and just get into a bit of a rhythm, those sort of things can sort of frustrate you a little bit. So the club's done extremely well to deal with what they have over this period of time. And then the buys come at the right time again for the club. I think the fact that they've, once again, 2016, the buy was at the right time, 2021 as well, in terms of giving the players a bit of a spell and getting out of quarantine so they can live their lives a little bit prior to the game.
Bulldogs legend Brad Johnson joins us this morning. Jono, Max Gawn, what do you do with him? Because if you're only as good as your last game, he's just in rare air. He was on fire against the Cats. Did the Bulldogs go after him? Do they constantly bump him, niggle him? Port Adelaide did it really well in 2019.
Oh, look, yeah, they did. And I think there's the element to that across the ground. I think Melbourne have returned serve and said we're going to go after Bailey Smith. So it's the games have already started. Look, ultimately, for me, it's just around centre bounce. I don't know what your thoughts are, Kane, as well. Around the ground, the Bulldogs will handle and probably break even in stoppages, but in clearances, centre bounce, I mean, boundary throw-ins and ball-ups. But centre bounce is the area that the Bulldogs have struggled the last three rounds of the season, even at parts through this final series. The opposition have put real pressure on them coming out the front of centre bounce. So that's where Steph Martin becomes a really important player in that part of the ground. Around the ground, they just have to try and go with him and control him. I think Steph Martin plays possibly midfield back so that if Max does go forward, they've already got that representation there to cover him off. So, but he's a gun, Max. He dominated the prelim and maybe the week off, hopefully for Bulldogs fans, has halted a little bit of his momentum in terms of you know, what he was able to do leading in that prelim. You know, the game was just, you know, top shelf stuff.
It's always the same names with the Bulldogs that everyone focuses on. It's Bontempelli, it's McRae, it's Libra, it's this midfield. Mm. Some of the unsung heroes, who would you expect tomorrow that really needs to have potentially the games of their lives for the Bulldogs to get over the line?
Yeah, look, I think I go to Bailey Williams, and I love this guy as a player. He uses the ball well. He's composed in the contest, and if you probably go to the halfbacks of both teams, I think the Bulldogs have got, you know, better players across halfback and go a little bit deeper than what Melbourne do in terms of ball use. So you've got Christian Salem, who's unbelievable in terms of his use of the ball. But the Bulldogs have got Bailey Dale, Caleb Daniel and Bailey Williams, who all use the ball really well. Jarray's not bad either when he has his moments down back. But those three for the Bulldogs, if they use the ball as well as what we've seen throughout the home and away season, in particular Williams, because he can, you know, kick it through the corridor really well, that may open the D's up a little bit. So I look to both half-back lines, and I just think the Bulldogs' ball use is a little bit better from that period of part of the ground.
Heartbreak, Jono, with the selection. Of course, no surprise, as Alex Keith's been their best defender all year. He comes back in from that hammy, and young live-wire forward Cody Waitman, his finals record extraordinary this year. But for Anthony Scott, who's probably going to drop out, and Ryan Gardner, who's been omitted, Vandermeer will probably be the medical sub. It's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. That would have been a tough call. Gardner's been good. Cordy had a good year till he got injured, and then he came back. His prelim final was excellent, Cordy. So he holds his spot. And I think the experience of 2016 and playing in a big game in a grand final probably got Cordy over the line in terms of what the club may have been thinking at that period of time. And in some ways, I don't know why they just don't have, we haven't named the medical subs already. I know we're sort of waiting for that, but to say Vandermeer's dropped if he's going to come straight back in as the medical sub, you're right. It's Scott who's the one who misses out on a potential grand final berth. It's not Vandermeer in that sense. So ultimately, I think they should go with some speed. It's interesting they had Ed Richards on the emergency line too. We know that they, with Scott, Richards and Vandermeer, it looks like they're going to select speed in terms of that position as sub.
How are you going to watch it, Jono? Like, this is the brutal reality of the situation of the country, and in particular Victoria. Like, these Melbourne fans that have waited 57 years can't watch the game with anyone other than those inside their home. Like, you'll probably be at Fox Footy, so it's a bit of a relief for you. But your family and your friends, how do you think the people of Melbourne will handle this game with two giants of the AFL playing tomorrow?
Yeah, look, it's tough, no question. And look, for our personal situation, my wife grew up a Melbourne supporter, so her whole family are passionate, Kayla. I mean, really passionate. So it's interesting in terms of the dynamic at the moment. We might talk for a couple of weeks after Saturday night, but ultimately, I see the nerves and the passion on that side. They'll just, you know, watch it in their homes. Unfortunately, we can't all get together. I'm sort of fortunate that in some ways I'm going to work at Fox, and I'll be a part of the pre-game, halftime and post-game. So, you know, I'll just be living it at work. I'll be yelling at the TV at work. I got told to sort of be quiet a couple of weeks ago in the Brisbane game. I got a little bit passionate in the office, so I've got to control myself in some ways, Kane.
We're going to ask you, Joe, what sort of support are you? Do you turn into a proper football nuffy? It sounds like the answer's yes.
No, I don't. That was the problem. I've never yelled at the TV in my life. But 2 weeks, or 3 weeks ago when they played Brisbane, I don't know what happened to me, to be honest with you. I lost the plot there for a quarter and a bit. That last quarter, the intensity of it was just ridiculous. So, the prelim, I was a lot more composed, especially after quarter time. So, no, I'll be good. I'll just sit back and enjoy it. Look, at the end of the day, we can't control it. We're passionate and we'll cheer and all those sort of things, but ultimately, we can't control what's going out in the ground. And I've always sort of had that mindset, I suppose, since stepping away as a player.
Seen a couple of promos on Fox Footy, Jono. The longest kick is back with a bit of a twist, and you guys have become pretty creative getting some of the commentators and talent that you use at Fox Footy in this long kick competition. I think it's on at 3:30 Adelaide time on the broadcast. Did you get involved in the longest kick? Do those old legs of yours still have anything left in them?
Yeah, I did get involved, Kane. I didn't know how I'd go. We did the sprint earlier in the year, and I tore my hammy for the first time. So I'm thinking, what am I doing getting involved in a longest kick? But I got up to 50.2 metres, Kane. So wow. I was actually happy with that. The fact that I was able to get it out there over 50, but it's hilarious. It goes right down to the wire. We can't give away who wins because it was two teams against each other and total distance all up between the four or five kickers that we had in each team. So, but it does go right down to the wire, and it's good fun. Ruffy absolutely launches one. Jack, we know, can kick the ball a long way. And, you know, even the likes of Nick Riewoldt still had a little bit in his legs. Nicky Del Santo, the little legs, still got it out there a little bit. So it was good. I'd actually be interested, Kane. How far you reckon you'd be able to kick it these days?
So I don't reckon I kicked 150 when I was in my prime, Jono. Like, did you go the torp or did you go the drop punt?
No, I had to go the torp. Couldn't do anything else other than go the torp. My first one was very good. I got it out. My second one wobbled to about 43, I think. But the first one, at least I was happy to break 50 with what I'm 45 years of age, mate. So yeah. I was happy to still be able to say I can kick the ball 50 metres.
Oh, that's a phenomenal effort. You're putting the rest of us to shame at 45 years of age. Johnny, you got a lot on. Before we let you go, let's run through this. You are tipping the Western Bulldogs or not?
Of course I am. That's from the heart, of course, but also from a serious nature. It's going to be enormous. It really is a tough game, but you know, ultimately, I think with it being that 50-50 aspect of this game in terms of the talent across the entire park, I think the Bulldogs can probably just edge the D's in the end.
Hey, close one?
In a real close one. I think it's going to be an absolute classic. We'll be talking about this granny for years to come.
Margin and Norm Smith, Jono?
I'm going Dogs 10 points. And I picked Josh Dunkley for the Norm Smith. I just get a sense he might be able to have his 20, maybe restrict some of the opposition, but maybe get three or four himself. If he does that, look out. The Dogs will be on their way to a win.
Josh Dunkley, the Dogs in a close one. What a performance it would be. Jono, enjoy it, mate. We're thinking of you, and let's hope for an absolute classic tomorrow. You'll catch you on Fox Footy with the rest of the crew in the build-up on Grand Final Day. Appreciate your time, as always.
No worries. Anytime. Enjoy as well, Kane and Hazy. Have a great day tomorrow.